Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. We'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys.
We are back.
We are back.
At least
Chris
for 1 week.
Chris Zook is really back.
At least
that,
for
that,
1 week.
That volume
yeah.
there.
So I'll make sure you guys are listening today.
We got TJ.
Energy.
At the Edge of Canada host, TJ Phillips.
Good to be here, fellas.
Bison and, hockey and, play-by-play.
And unfortunately, a Blue Jay fan.
Yeah, well, don't hold it against me.
This is why we brought him in, though, because off the hop, we want to talk about the Players Weekend and all
it's
of
not
the,
what you think it is.
Yeah. No.
Smokes?
But yeah, it's a celebration of old cigarettes, Canadian cigarettes. We're going to be
lots of darts out there,
bringing them across the border from Ontario to Manitoba. No, it is the Players Weekend, and as part of this sort of celebration, I'm using air quotes, of course. The MLB is allowing players to have their nicknames on the back of their jerseys, and
like
we were going
idea.
Through a list of the Jays' nicknames off air, and I said to Trevor, we got to get you in at least to chat first off about those jerseys. We're going to focus on Toronto for the time being. We will kind of expand our view once allow you to get out of here. But I mean, you're the type of guy who gives the Jays players your own nicknames.
Yeah,
right. Like, I mean, this is the thing. Like, you've been calling Robert Osuna Bobby O for a while.
Yeah,
I think you've had a couple other names for him too.
Osuna Matata, but I didn't make that one up.
That's a good one, anyways. That would have been great on his jersey. That's not what he's going with.
No. What is he going with again?
I think he's just going with...
No Panic.
No Panic.
No Panic, which is apparently...
Which no one has said. I think I've never heard this
nickname. Harkens back to his closer's music.
I've never heard
his entrance music, apparently.
Have you ever heard this, TJ?
I've never heard that one.
No.
See, this is the thing. Like, some of them, very obvious. Like, Joey Bats.
Had it forever. That's his handle on social media.
That's exactly right.
Joe Bats. Yeah, we know that one.
And actually, Tulo, right? That's an obvious one, right? Those make sense.
Yeah, true.
But
Tulo,
if I said,
I mean, he brought that over. Like, he'd had that when he was in Colorado.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not
but
a new
if
nickname.
If I said Muscle.
He had that one in college. Even.
If I said Muscle, I swear to God, you would go to 10 Blue Jay fans and just blank stares. You'd have no idea who that is.
Who's Muscle?
It's Russell
Martin.
Martin.
Exactly. Russell the Muscle Martin. Of course, everyone. It just rolls off your tongue. It's ridiculous, right?
So, yeah, I mean, like, some of these... I've never heard them referred to.
For example,
I mean, you know, some of these guys, they just don't seem to have a nickname, or at least like they play without a nickname. People just generally call them by their last name, like Pilar, right? Like, I don't think I've ever heard anyone like use a nickname for him. They just call him Pilar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hold on. I'm just reading this. That Michael has this on the website here about these nicknames, right? And so Steve Pierce was gonna go with just his last name, but he's a wild man, right? And then he's gonna go with the train, and he was gonna go with Wayne Train to kind of go on his middle name, but someone's copyrighted that. Okay, he's just literally making up a nickname.
Yeah, he doesn't have one.
He doesn't have a nickname. What is wrong with baseball? Baseball used to be, we were talking about this off air, the Mick, you know, the Babe. You've got the Rock. I mean, you, Crow, you've got a million of these, right? What is wrong with baseball? Trout doesn't even have a nickname, does he?
Not that I can think of. Number one in your fantasy draft.
Yeah, the franchise. There's nothing else that I could think of. Not something like how LeBron is the king or anything else like that, you know, where other sports got names for the best athletes.
But baseball was kind of, when I remember growing up, not to sound old, but you remember a lot of nicknames, right? You would remember these guys, like, you didn't.
Something like Nails.
Yeah, exactly. Goose, you know? Like Goose Gossage. I don't even know what his real name is. It was Goose always. I couldn't tell you why he got it or whatever, but that's what he was, right? So I like the idea. I think the idea, hey, it evokes discussion. So that's half the battle. But some of these nicknames, I mean, TJ, you should call the Blue Jays operation up here and say, I got some better nicknames. You should, you know what they should.
I got a couple of good ones right off the top, Zook, that I use for guys. So Marco Estrada, I call Chips.
Okay, so yeah, he's.
No, I like that one. That's a good one.
He's going with Estrada Bien.
That's not okay.
That's not
like
good
that
at all. That's not good at all.
Which is like, you know, his name and good, and it's like SWN.
Well, I'm surprised someone this doesn't do like for smoke, like just Smokey, right? Like, you know, you put the Y or put the ER or something. And
well, Mike had the good one that, you know, well, the Big
like
Smoke.
That's
see,
a great
like
one.
To me, because I mean, that's the nickname for Toronto.
Exactly.
The dude's last, like, and you could spell it the same,
I'm
like the Big S M O A K. Right.
This guy's had an
right?
insane year for them. How they haven't marketed the crap out of this? The Big Smoke, you know,
like, and he's hitting homers.
Exactly. He's smoking them out, right? Like, this is. It seems that it goes back to we've railed on this for years about MLB and about marketing, right? Like, especially in Toronto, where it's you know, I mean, it's hard now. The Leafs have come back a bit, and you have the FC there, and so you got to find it in the market. And they're not having a great year this year, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. But you got to market some of these guys, right? Batista and that nucleus is kind of drifting away. This is a guy.
Yeah, they almost didn't have Joey this year,
yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, he was.
An afterthought.
It was him and Edwin, and it looked like maybe both of them would go. And then after he didn't get, you know, kind of what he wanted on the open market, he re-signed with Toronto. Like, and those were the two franchise players, really. I mean, Josh Donaldson obviously is a phenomenal player, but he's, of course, had an up and down year because of injuries. So that's what he's bringer of rain, right?
That's Donnie.
That's a good one. See, that one's pretty good. And that's Saul. Again, I think it also connects a bit when these guys use it for social media, right? So then that's where you get more association. 21st century, right? I was just also reading here on this article. Of course, what's the end point about this story, about why they're doing this Players Weekend thing? Oh, yeah, you could buy those jerseys for $199, you know, this weekend, right? Of course you are. Who is buying some of these jerseys, right?
Yeah, a lot of people are, but there's also a charitable element to this, is there
okay,
not?
Well,
they're writing it on their left sleeve. Is charitable organizations, and this is a lot about celebrating the evolution of the player from Little League all the way up.
Okay,
and how
so that's not
a lot of people contribute to your development. But I also think contributing to your development is razoring out a sense of identity. And I found when I played, that's how we got our nicknames. For example, when I played in my later years, I was called Schwabi because I had a Schwab-like knowledge of pro sports. So I was Stumped the Schwab. So that's where I got my nickname from.
Nice.
Also, you know, being a bit of a softer body didn't hurt. I got that look from that. But and so, you know, those were the nicknames.
It's radio. They don't know, TJ.
Oh, yeah. They can't see me.
That's right.
Ripped. Jacked.
I mean, I was
I got the
swole.
Nickname Jacked.
Exactly.
I was going to say Muscle, but I was already taken. So
one of the reasons why nicknames were so prevalent is because you build a long-standing relationship with players. So a lot of the nicknames that I played with guys who I played with 6 or 8 years through my entire amateur career, we knew them inside and out. We could create nicknames for them in free agency and the player movement that goes on nowadays and 50-man rosters and moving in and out. There's probably less of an in-depth relationship than there used to be, and it's probably more professional. That's one way that I think about why nicknames have eroded.
But I'll tell you this one. I'm going to give you a small story here. So when I started with the Moose many moons ago, right, first day I came in, and it was like Zinger, who's still there, Craig Heisinger, is my boss. And so he's like, introduce you around. And first off, so he's Zinger. So no one calls him by Craig that I know of, right? But then it was just like, oh, here's Balls and here's Chuby and here's Hustler and here's this, right? No one had, this is the front, like these are the administration, let alone the players. I was like, I thought they were running a joke on me because it's like no one was named Bob or Steve or, you know, whatever, right? And I'm like, this is the front office, let alone the guys, you know, in the locker room, right? So you're right. It's probably more professional now not to have as many nicknames, let's say. But I think for players and all that stuff, I just would go back to it. I think it doesn't hurt to have some monikers, some catch, you know, names for these guys because I think they get lost. I think Mike Trout, I think Major League Baseball is going to look back on this in 10 years and go, well, what do we do with Mike Trout? What about the judge? The judge, Aaron Judge, right? I mean, these are guys, Harper, all these guys are the generation now, right, to sell this game. Throw in a nickname or two to people.
Well, at least with Judge, I mean, they've been making plays on his name about, like, you know, like when he comes to bat, they say the All Rise and stuff like that, right? Like they like have the courts in session and things like that. Like,
which isn't bad. That's
those things are those that works, right? Yeah. Like I mean, if you got a last name like Judge, you don't necessarily need a nickname,
sure.
Right? Like you're just the judge.
But like Harper, what's his nickname? I'm sure he's got one.
Right, Honorable. My
that
old
only
man,
works in Canada.
My old man calls Aaron Judge Frankenstein, so that's what we call him.
You know what that
so
one?
You
maybe,
can buy these nickname
I'm
making.
I'm
going to
take a. Exactly. I'm going to take a guess. That's Papa. Not probably what he has in his jersey.
Probably not. Other nicknames that we made up on the Blue Jays. It calls Russell Martin Super Russ. That's another one that we have out there. And when he needed his knee drained, my dad called him Super Puss, which we thought was pretty funny. See, these things are—they shift
they evolve,
and have dynamics.
Yeah,
they have
yeah.
they evolve to, you know, make room for those things.
Well, that's—and I mean, I guess part of it you were saying about kind of like MLB missing out on this opportunity, like with something like Trout. You know, he's a superstar in some sense, right? Like, he was what, the youngest guy to hit 1,000 hits this just
yes.
recently.
And he's Sidney Crosby.
He's a phenomenal
for baseball.
Yeah, but outside of Anaheim. Like, do you see many people wearing a Trout jersey, right? Like, whereas, like, a LeBron jersey, you would see
right. Well, basketball,
in any city in North America,
I think
right?
Of all the sports, I think, because it was also it's a little bit smaller.
I'm just meaning, like, the best player in the sport,
no doubt.
There are going to be people who are fans of that player or
right.
wearing that player's gear across the country and not localized to that specific community in which they play.
Other than I've seen Trout in a Subway commercial like a couple times, like a couple years ago, whatever, they're just not marketing.
Well, I feel this ties into that same thing we were talking about, you know, around the World Baseball Classic about kind of the, like, the Latin players showing, like, some panache and some, you know, flair, right? And then, like, the arguments about bat flips and running out infield hits and things like it's all part of this, like, kind of corporatization or real kind of rigid hierarchy within MLB that they've tried to kind of push for a while. And it loses the opportunity for personality. And it's really the personalities that generate interest, right? I mean, this is why, like, NBA fully embraced social media, right? Like, their players, I mean, they're not obviously, like, tweeting while they're on the court, but, like, outside of that, they can pretty much share what they want on social media, and the NBA does, like, I really haven't seen any sort of crackdown on that. You don't get that same thing with MLB.
And maybe for Major League Baseball, jersey sales aren't necessarily the top indicator that they look at for popularity. I'm thinking of caps, actually, and the popularity of the Yankee cap made through Jay-Z, Fred Durst for a little while. There are different things that
Olympus
make
biscuit reference.
Exactly.
That's impressive.
But like,
that's
who? How many people?
The first one,
yeah,
on
ever.
How many people were buying red Yankee caps in the '90s? Right, it would seem like everybody was. One of the things I think that's unique is I just quickly looked up where Mike Trout jersey sales sit in the major league, and he's 11th. He's certainly not the 11th best player, but the number one selling jersey right now in the major leagues is Chris Bryant. So I think it's regionally driven, and I think three of the top five are Cubbies.
Yeah,
and so
you got Chicago fans, you've got them coming off a World Series.
That's right.
And then you've also got, you know, I mean, Chicago, what, is like the third biggest city after LA and New York?
Yeah,
I think so,
right?
So, I mean, there's a market thing. Like, I think if there was, like, probably Judge is probably higher than Trout, I'm guessing.
I'll look up.
Just
but I'll say
because he is a Yankee that, like, you know, you got that New York market.
Right, but even, like, Chris Bryant, I don't know if he has an – I mean, he might have. I'm just saying these – I remember, like, again, I go back to my Expo past all the time, but when El Presidente, right?
We need some cue music for Chris Sook's Expo reminiscence moments.
Exactly.
It's like
right?
the NFB film.
We, you know, when we do our, the front there, I love the call when he gets the perfect game, right? Dennis Martinez gets this perfect game, and it's like El Presidente, El Perfecto, right? And it's just like that was his, you know, that's what he was just named. He was known wildly about that. And they would use it wildly on broadcast all the time, you know. And this is what I just thought, The Rock, The Kid, like this is what I grew up with, right? The Crow, I mean, the Hawk. If you said that to an Expo fan, you know exactly who you're talking about. You don't need, right? That's what I'm just saying, that those things kind of define kind of those players, that era. And for whatever reason, it's kind of got lost. And I get you about TJ, you're talking about hat sales, there's no doubt, but don't tell me in Major League Baseball they want to see Trout. Trout should be worn all over the States, all over North America. This guy should be Sidney Crosby, should be LeBron James. Like this is the guy in 10 years from now, we're talking 2,000 hits, 25. Like, he's going to rival some of these records. He stays healthy, right? I mean, and he's got it all. He's on the West Coast. He's young. He's good looking. He puts up the numbers, right? Like, there's nothing scandal that we know of about this guy.
No, he's I think he lived with his parents till like he was like 3 years into his career.
All right, so he's a homebody. Okay, that's a little weird. All right,
he sounds like a millennial.
He's
he connects with people.
He's a vanilla kid, right? Like, there's nothing controversial about him.
I love that nickname. The Vanilla Kid.
The Vanilla Kid. There we go.
That's what I'm going to call him from now on. Thank you, Michael Alves, for creating that. The other thing is, though, is I think he does have drawing power. I've only been down to Minneapolis once since I moved here to see baseball, and it was because Mike Trout was coming
through. There you go.
And, I mean, I'm a bit of a baseball purist in that regard. I wanted to see him play because I feel like it's the closest you'd get to seeing Mickey Mantle in the 21st century. He's almost a carbon copy of Mickey Mantle in every way.
Wow.
Except for the drinking.
The Mick. The Mick.
Yeah.
Right?
And, you know, when I watched him play, it was amazing how small he made the field look, Mike Trout I'm talking about, because he hit a double off the wall and was at second base before it was into the infield, which is incredible to me. He's just so fast and so strong, and he closes the field down, and he's amazing to watch. Your whole attention draws to him. But I do think it is regionally based, and one of the things that I watch is baseball caps, and one of the spikes in baseball cap sales we're seeing now as teams get better is a re-emergence of the Sea of the Cleveland hat becoming more popular and seeing that.
Thankfully, not the other one.
Yeah, not the other one. Astros hats.
Well,
which
that's a good one. Yeah.
You know, they're rarely competitive, but now you see a lot of younger, you know, people wearing them. And this year especially, I started to even see a couple of Diamondbacks hats starting to float around, which is really unique, right? Like,
is it like the purple throwback one?
Sometimes it's the purple throwback, but I see that one. But also too, just like a rise in Cubbies gear, and wore Cubbies gear ever before if you're Canadian, and now you start to see people wearing it. Sure, so I feel like, you know, if you're winning and you have something like either an iconic look or a unique look, like the purple Diamondback or even the Devil Ray Rainbow when they were getting better in 09-10. And there's another look that I'm thinking of. Oh, the Astro tricolor or the orange with the front, which is a really sharp look. They wore it Sunday night against the Jays, and it looked really good. But
especially after Ozuna blew that one.
Yeah. Which is really unique. I think it's really unique about baseball and pop culture is that the hat is actually a piece of like fashion forward gear that people wear, as opposed to.
Yeah, people aren't wearing helmets a lot.
No, exactly. Or like baseball jerseys.
Some people argue they should.
Yeah, right?
I mean, Michael Ells is a connoisseur of the baseball hat. This is his bread and butter. Yeah, right, exactly. So like,
I'm sure the wife really loves that.
As long as my collection stays in the den where, like, my records and my books stay.
And that you're not paying $100 a cap, it should be all right.
Yeah, no, I've never paid $100 for a cap.
But it is, but there's connoisseurs of that, right? Michael's one, and millions of people really, like.
Yeah, and I like the alternates. Like, I'm always curious about when they come out with, you know, the turn back the clock ones. Like, so the Twins, who are obviously, like, the team I root for, I have more than one Twins cap because, you know, I've got like the M with the swoosh, I've got the TC and a few others, but like they had a Minneapolis Miller's cap for like a throwback, which was like the white block M kind of a royal blue, and it was like, ooh, maybe it might have to order that one.
I will say the kind of cool thing about this too, again, you should just cue up the music here. Whenever I see an Expo person or someone wearing an Expo cap. I don't care if it's for fashion. They don't even know. Because most of it's now, I think, for fashion. Because most of the people are wearing it. The Expo's been gone for 12 plus years, right? So, but the it's very iconic. And so you watch it. And I literally almost every time kind of give a tip or I say, hey, are you an Expo fan? Where there's a connection there just by wearing that hat, right? And no different than the Yankees or the Cubs or whatever. But for me, where the Expos haven't even been around, I almost
conversation
feel,
starter. You like
not only
like...
not only that, I'm going to go even more bolder and say, I feel that that logo alone has sustained the Expos in pop culture a bit. Where hopefully down the road the Expos come back and actually be a team. But people still know about them literally because of Expo gear, right? Jerseys and stuff. Like, I'd be curious, but, you know, it's not like you see a lot of Nordique stuff. Do you know what I'm getting at? Like, where there's not a lot, but for whatever reason, people still wear that stuff. I have a Cromartie jersey, so when I'm on Kansas City, I wore it on this doubleheader. You should see, literally, it's a great thing if you really want to talk to older people, because it's mostly not a longer younger people, but everyone's like, love that jersey, love the Expos and stuff. It's such an amazing
I have like one of the like color tone Expos, and it's like a silver and like blue.
Oh, nice.
And I had like a TSA agent when I was like going through the Phoenix airport, like basically stop everyone from proceeding through to ask me about my hat. Like, it's
thankfully it wasn't for anything else.
No, it was totally, he was like, dude, that's like Expo's hat, A, wow. But B, like, I've never seen that color tone, and like wanted to like quiz me on where
I
got
to
it.
See that? I don't know if I've ever seen this. This sounds like a pretty cool hat.
But yeah, I mean, it can be a conversation starter. I know that, like, I was walking down the street in Victoria, like my brothers live in Victoria, and I was wearing a Salt River Paddlers, which is the Arizona Fall League hat that the Jays, obviously, are one of the kind of the feeder teams for, and a Jays fan like stopped me on the street, and he's like, hey, Salt River Paddlers, are you a Jays fan? Like, and we got talking baseball just like on the street. And I mean, that's the kind of thing I appreciate as someone who's kind of into these hats and kind of the stories behind them.
I'm just surprised here that like MLB, they're trying to do better. Their social media is better now. They're trying to branch out. I'm surprised they just don't have someone in the payroll. Literally just writes nicknames for all these guys in the major leagues and just starts putting this out here to try and get this stuck on something. It used to be back in the day, you would have posters and stuff. You know, that's old school, right? But they would have, you know, the kid and there's Gary Carter.
Oh, you're talking
know,
like the Bash Brothers posters,
yeah,
and stuff like
exactly
that?
Exactly like that. Like, I mean, I'm just saying, I think me and Michael always keep professing more, right? Just more of this stuff. You need to connect these guys
and
more.
Keep it fun.
Oh, of course.
The other interesting nickname that doesn't really stand out is, I mean, we say Sid the Kid for Sidney Crosby, right, which isn't the greatest nickname in the world. But some of what I hear the younger bunch say is Cros. Oh, and okay. I noticed that a lot of fellow Penguins say Cros. And I feel like we're in a very literal generation these days where I think young fans like to get it right when it comes to nicknames. I come from a little bit of a different line where I like to make things up about players, but I think a lot of people want to get it right. So like if, you know, Alexander the Ovechkin's nickname is the Great OV or the Great Eight or whatever, they're going to try to nail that. Mm-hmm. For example, with the Oilers, which is my favorite hockey team, I often make up nicknames for guys on that team. And like Ryan Nugent Hopkins, we call Nugie. Or Baby Nuge, or Little Baby Nuge is what I like to call him. And nobody else does. Same thing with Roberto Osuna. I was the only guy I know that was saying Bobby O. And some people, when I said it at Skydome, laughed about it. But I think they want to get it right. Like, they'd rather see what guys pick and put on the back of their jerseys,
sure,
so that way they
it
can
validates
call them that.
Exactly.
Yeah, it creates some sort of, like, community.
And I get that. I'm just saying is when Steve Pierce has literally just come up with the train, like, that's just – you're just –
so
I got it. You're just saying that just to put it on the
jersey. Of all the ones
thing.
That, yeah, I mean, because I think some of these people just don't have a nickname, right? I mean, some of them, like, J.A. Happ is just Happer, right? Like, I mean, some of them are just, like, you know. And, I mean,
I call him hipster
totally
J.A. Happ.
Like, I just call you Zook, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I mean, that's,
I got that.
If I refer to you, like, I think you're in my contacts as just Zook. But
that works.
I think the best one I saw, though, is Kyle Seager.
What's his?
Corey's brother. That's all it says on the back of his jersey.
That's pretty good. But yeah, I think in the general, hey, at the end of the day, they got people talking, and good or bad, it's a step in the right direction. If they get something to charity, I mean, even more power to it. Mm-hmm. It won't give the Jays any more wins.
Nope.
Are you done? Are you done? Are you off? It's over. The bandwagon's done. Has it been gone for a while?
He's been. I mean, he's not a bandwagon.
No. I know. I'm just saying. Are you like? I know you're the diehard here, but like.
I think you mean the hype train. The hype train left the station.
The hype train. I'll be honest with you. I haven't watched a ton of the games this year because I find the style of play aggravating. I hate watching them grind out nine innings to eventually blow one by the pen, and that's kind of what happened on Sunday when I watched the Houston game, where they played
very
a miserable game.
Too.
They played a miserable game. It's one of the weakest spines I've seen the Blue Jays trot out there, with Super Russ hitting about 240, Pilar hitting Pill hitting 240, and then Barney and Goins up the middle. It's just a weak composition of a team offensively and defensively, and it really is hard to watch them play the game. I can't stand it. I'd rather watch other teams younger and faster play the game, like Tampa Bay.
But here's
at least you got to watch the Astros then.
Yeah, they're and good, the but Astros they had a lot of injuries good. On the weekend. Yeah.
I will say this, the scary thing about this, you're literally saying this as they've come off back-to-back years being in the ALC finals, right? Like, that's how fast this happens, right? I watched the Royals last weekend in a doubleheader, right? And they've clawed their way back kind of into the wild card, right? And unfortunately, Michael knows that because Minnesota's kind of got them back into it. But, I mean, looking around, you know, like for them, they were there in 2014, and then 2015 they win the World Series, and it was awesome to be around that because you should see how many jerseys. It was so awesome. Everyone's got kind of the gold lettering because when they won, they kind of did that and stuff, and it's awesome. The Jays, as where the Royals had that pocket, sort of the Jays at the same time. The problem is only one of them could win one, and it was the Royals, right? And so the problem is it's so fast how you're saying that how fast they fall. That's how it happens. Astros did it both ways through, right? They were really good for a little bit. They went to the bottom, and now they've got their way back up again. So, but you're right. The Jays, it's just, I mean, kind of most people knew this going into the season, but I think it's just it's come to reality now.
I think there's been a lot of injuries to very key players, especially early in the year. Aaron Sanchez and his blisters problems is a major issue in the rotation.
Especially when they basically were thinking he was like the number two guy.
Yeah, he was going to be. I thought he was going to be the number one. I thought he was going to be opening day starter. Stroman was going to be the number two. Chips the number three. And then Tulo being in and out of the lineup. He's only played, 65 games this year. And he's slashing under 700, which is terrible. Donnie's been hurt, and I think he's still battling injuries. Joey's been inconsistent, and it looks like he's pulling off fastballs. I don't think the absence of Eddie has mattered that much. I think Kendrys and Pierce have been replacing those numbers, especially Smokey, obviously.
I was going to say, Smoke has kind of filled that void.
He filled that gap for sure. Super Russ looks like he slowed down just a little bit. A lack of depth on the bench. I don't think that this cluster is uncompetitive. I think they could compete in the AL East, or at least for the AL wild card. It's just so many injuries. They can't claw themselves out of it. And then it harkens back to something I heard Russell Martin talk about, just how difficult this year has been psychologically on the Jays, because it seems every game they have to battle luck, weather, injury, inconsistency, a faulty bullpen or something every single night. And like, for honestly, with the exception of last night's back into that game falling off the table, they should have been 56-56 going into that game. And instead, you know, they're 53-60. And that's just the reality of the Blue Jays this season.
Right. And then you've also got, you know, Boston and New York are both doing
way
great.
Better. Way better.
So, I mean, like last year they took advantage of kind of a
They lost two years,
absence.
Really,
yeah.
Actually. I mean, and that was their pocket. Like in some respects, the Jays are going to have to look at what they've got and stock up again, because that division is not going to get any less, right? I mean, so that's what they're always fighting against. And I mean, that said, TJ, I know you're a diehard, so I'm going to say, but many teams go through this, right? The problem is the Jays, just their depth. It was just unfortunately, Edwin would have helped. Let's be honest, he would have helped. Well, not like to the extent of making the playoffs this year, but the problem was they made the wrong choice. Like they chose the wrong of the two guys who were the big free agents. I mean, Edwin still like would have still at least.
I don't
more
think
it, entertaining.
I don't think
would
it was a choice. I don't think it was a choice. Oh. I think the reason why they backed off of Joe and let everybody else have a stab at him is because they were trying to throw as much money as they could at Eddie. They just didn't have enough money. And I think what this shows is Rogers' lack of investing in putting out a winning product on the field. Anthopoulos created this cluster. It's been eroded for the last 2 years by Shapiro and Akins, and it is going to continue to slide away from being competitive with the younger clusters like Boston
and I think
and New York and Houston, and especially Cleveland. But to the larger, my larger point is, I think even with these old guys, Toronto's one of the oldest teams in the league, and I mean they might have got a little younger dealing Frankie, but I still think they're competitive. I just think they need to make some acquisitions to bolster the rotation and stabilize the pen, and then get some clean games, like clean sheets, seasons without injuries from guys like Martin, Sanchez, and Tulo, which are three perennial all-stars and who can play at a high level when they're healthy. It's scary to know that Shapiro could blow this whole thing up, and he's done it before.
Well, that's it. That's, I think, isn't that
that's
why
scary.
He got hired a bit? And you remember back Anthopoulos about the all-in theory. I think that's why they had David Price, right? Remember that year, a couple years ago? Even though they didn't get there, it was still worth the roll of the dice, right? In some respects, is that window was only 2 or 3 years open. And so in some respects, the problem, if you're a Jays fan, you don't see that. When are they rolling the dice here?
And for the record, I don't think the David Price acquisition was the one that put us over the top in 2015. I thought it was the thing that sunk us, actually, was Brett Cecil getting injured against Texas and then him not being available for Kansas City in the ALCS, because I think Kansas City came from behind in 3 out of the 4 wins that they had in that series.
I'll be honest. I also was at the game where actually Price was dealing it until the 7th, and they lost a fly ball and changed the whole game. Might have changed the whole series in that one, where Price, they win that and he actually gets a monkey off his back, and you'll never know, right? And so that's what happens. It's baseball. It's a fine line.
The really interesting thing about the Jays' window to win is that there was a very small margin of error and level of difference between all three organizations that were competitive at the same time, Toronto, Kansas City, and Texas. Very small margin of difference. This year, it's very clear. Houston and LA are at the top of the class. Like, there's no in either league.
A big gap between
there's a
the
big
rest.
Game between the yeah. big gap between the rest. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the playoffs.
So speaking of closing windows, we are out of time. Democracy Now! Coming up next. Stick around. We will be off next week.
Yeah.
I'm taking a holiday, and
I will as well.
You will as well, and we'll be back in a couple weeks to talk baseball. Enjoy the time. Enjoy the week.
Play ball.
Strike 3. You're out.